Today, have a very squeezy Christmas. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics World, latest post covering finance and property news. Well, today I want to walk you through the latest results from our household surveys to the end of November. And it really does lay the foundation to say that Christmas will be tight for many people this year. Now, there were some recent articles that it's worth just referring to as we go into this, because, of course, things are pretty difficult for many people. For example, parents hold the keys to home ownership. This was research from CoreLogic and CanStar saying that a couple earning $125,000 each would need to look to the Central Coast, Penrith, Liverpool and Campbelltown to buy a house. But if you wanted to look at something in the unit range, you could get slightly closer in. Interestingly, they also made the point that the modelling assumes the couple had a combined budget of about $1.5 million, and it also considered buying options for workers on lower average incomes. There are still areas of Sydney where dual high-income couples can't break in if they're relying on just their income and a 20% deposit, CoreLogic said. Then they go on to highlight the fact that around 20 to 30% of people who are trying to get into the market don't have cash gifts, but they are willing to make big sacrifices to get on the ladder. For example, they may purchase a one-bedroom unit with a view to moving on in 3 to 5 years' time. So, for example, places like Meadowbank, Rhodes or Parramatta in and around the Sydney CBD. This just again highlights the massive pressures on households. Here's another one. So the news is quite interesting insofar that there are still pockets where the market is quite strong. So, for example, there was a story in the North Shore where a property with a reserve of $2.8 million was $350,000 above the reserve, and a reimagined 1880s cottage in Erskineville sold at auction yesterday, paying $3.22 million for a first-time buyer. Now, I guess my point would be that first-time buyer is not a typical first-time buyer, as you will see from those numbers, but it does show you that you have to go into granularity to really see what's going on the ground. The fact is there are still some stories of property purchase, but for the average person looking to get into the market, these, of course, 3.2 million or whatever, are way off what they're really thinking that they can afford. Further press coverage also that Sydney prices, for example, are showing signs of peaking and are coming off. This is the continued story of prices turning. The point, of course, there is that ANZ quite recently pushed out their forecast of rate cuts until the middle of next year. And there are some people now saying there'll be no rate cuts through 2025. And CoreLogic recently said that rate cuts won't fire up prices. In any case, as Tim Lawless said in his most recent report, looking at the value changes at the end of November, they do make the point, of course, that there is a different story across different parts of the country. Prices are still relatively strong in Perth and to an extent in Darwin and certainly in Brisbane and Adelaide. But the momentum in Sydney and Melbourne and also Hobart is looking quite a lot weaker now. And it's interesting that Lawness rejects suggestions that there could be a double-digit decline in house prices, whilst advisory firm Performance Property warned this month that Sydney's housing market was on the brink of a potential 15% decline in median house prices. So who knows where things are going to go? What you can say is that prices are on the turn in many places. And as I discussed yesterday, of course, we also know that because of the pressure on households, some are giving up on medical treatment, some are putting off buying a home or a car or other purchases, some are putting off getting married or having kids. And it's interesting that in the Redbridge survey, they did actually say that there are forces at play going to make it really tough for the Albanese election campaign. And that's, of course, a pressure on who's going to get back. Interestingly, many Australians still don't want a minority government, although actually I have to say that I think the two major parties are playing a rather similar game at the moment, which is not good for us. Anyway, as I recovered off yesterday, the property market is taking an early break, prices are easing, and we're going to see more of that ahead. And this puts more pressure on households as we go along, which takes us directly to our core market model and what we've been up to. We run our survey every month, of course, and the survey is a rolling sample of households across the country, 4,500 each month, 52,000, 0.5% sample over the year. And today I'm going to take you through the results for the end of November. And we also slice and dice the data different ways so we can see where the pressures are and how it's rising or falling in different places. As well as that, we'd also take a view as to where prices might be going. We look at some scenarios, and those scenarios allow us to basically look at what might be happening ahead. This isn't a prediction. This is simply a way of putting all the information together: mortgage stress, the price trajectory, the buying and selling intentions, the migration, the CPI data, the economic data into the core market model, put it into the scenarios, and then we can form a view as to what might be happening down at a postcode level. And I must tell you again, this postcode level analysis is really important because not all markets are behaving the same way. Not all types of property in individual markets are behaving the same way. And indeed, households are in different states of dress or undress in particular postcodes and particular types of property. So it is important to go granular. And some of these generic reports that we get about prices in Sydney or Melbourne or whatever really are masking what really is going on the ground, as is the analysis of the aggregate level of household debt. Although, of course, we are seeing more households getting into difficulty as arrears are rising. Just at this point, let me say that if you're interested in an individual conversation about a particular suburb, you can arrange that with me through my one-to-one service. I don't give specific financial advice. I can't do that, but I can talk about my data and what's going on and look at the underlying trends. I can look at the stress, the home price trend data, and form a view of what might be happening ahead based on our modelling. And that conversation is typically an hour or so. We can do it via Zoom or a phone conversation. There is a cost involved simply because there's a lot of work to do to put it together, get about a 30-page report at the end of the conversation. And if you are interested in teeing up a one-to-one conversation over the summer holiday period, feel free to reach for me. We're booking 3 to 5 weeks ahead at the moment. You can contact me by the DFA blog. Now, here's the normal conversation about definitions of stress. There are lots of different ways of talking about stress. For example, 30% of gross income, or maybe taxable income, through to underwriting metrics, but we define stress in cash flow terms. And if households have more outgoings, it's clearly one-off discretionary items, they're in income, we define them as stressed. If they have a mortgage, they're in mortgage stress. If renting, they're in rental stress. Investors with cash flow pressures are identified as stressed investors, and also those who are trying to sell. And we also aggregate the data to estimate total financial stress down to a postcode level. Financial stress covers all households, and we can express the data both in percentage terms, percentage of households, and the count. But in a way, the count is important because it's the law of big numbers, and therefore the latter, I think, is a better measure of what's going on. I use this chart regularly because I think the RBA put their finger on a very important point here, that there is an intensity of financial stress that starts in the mild range with budget pressures, moves through to missing payments, and ultimately could lead to insolvency. I'm measuring stress at that mild level, that budget pressure where you're having to make hard choices about where you spend your hard-earned cash. So here is the stress data to the end of November 2024. We start with rental stress, which is horrendously high, again at 77.1% of those in the rental sector have cash flow pressures. You can see how it's risen dramatically since March 2021. Mortgage stress, 50.4%, so we're above 50% now. Again, it did drop back slightly. There were, of course, some wage rises and also some cost of living pressure support from the government, but that really is not touching the sides. So more than half of households with a mortgage, these are owner-occupied mortgage holders, are having issues with their cash flows. And the Reserve Bank reports the debt-to-income ratio remains stubbornly high. You can see how it's climbed since 2020 and 2021. So here are the top-level results for November. And once again, I've highlighted in yellow where the numbers are higher than last month, blue to show where they dropped compared to last month. And if there's no highlighting, then there's little change. And you can see there that the ACT, mortgage stress was higher, stressed investors were higher, and overall financial stress was up, although rental stress dropped back slightly. in New South Wales, actually, it was a better month, with everybody seeing a slight reduction in mortgage stress, rental stress, investor stress, and financial stress. That is the consequence of the government handouts, particularly around electricity support. In the Northern Territories, we saw mortgage stress drop slightly, but rental stress rise, as does investor stress. But overall financial stress was down just slightly. In Queensland, again, the story was that mortgage stress was a little lower, rental stress was higher at 75%. That's a significant proportion of households, of course. And 15.9% investors are struggling there in Queensland, and 45.8% in financial stress overall. In South Australia, again, a slight reduction in mortgage stress, rental stress, and investor stress, and financial stress. In Tasmania, unfortunately, it was up across the board, with 62.6% of people in mortgage stress, 78.6% of households in rental stress, 19% in investor stress, and 49% in financial stress overall. Victoria saw a rise in mortgage stress at 53.6%. Rental stress was up to 77.3%. Investor stress was the same as last month, and overall financial stress was higher at 47.6%. And Western Australia saw a rise in mortgage stress at 53.3%. Rental stress was slightly down. Investor stress went sideways, but financial stress rose to 47.1%. So at the aggregate level, mortgage stress was 50.4%. That was 1.86 million households out of the 9.9 million that exist at the moment. And rental stress at 77.1% was higher. 2.38 million households in rental stress. Investor stress was down a little bit at 16.5%. That was 494,000 investors who are struggling, some of those looking to sell their property. And financial stress was up at 47.7%, which was 4.74 million households out of those 9.93 million that we spoke about. If we look at it then via our segments, the different cohorts show somewhat different trends. For example, young growing families remain the most stressed. There are a lot of first-time buyers, of course, in that group. Rental stress was highest among the multicultural establishments at 86.8%. They're the first generation Australians who are coming and having to rent because they're trying to find their feet in Australia. A lot of them are in difficulty. But you can see there that across mature, stable families and suburban mainstream, wealthy seniors, young affluents, young growing families, it's hot across the board for rental stress. So it doesn't matter almost which segment you look at, rental stress is a big problem. Investor stress tends to hit those who have the biggest portfolio properties. So exclusive professionals at 28%, young affluents at 24% hold the record for the stressed investor problem. They may have lots of cash flow, but they also have lots of problems because the mortgages on their investment properties, quite often multiple investment properties, have risen dramatically. The rental income is not sufficient to cover the rising costs, which is why in some cases they're the ones looking to sell. And overall financial stress, you can see there that young growing families at 67.8%, it holds the record. That is 497,000 young growing families across the country. And comparing that with some of the other segments, you can see there that they are way above the average 47.7%. But again, it's worth noting that some other segments, even suburban mainstream, battling urban, or those on the disadvantaged fringe of our major cities at 59 and 53% are also in some difficulty. And the multicultural establishment, the first generation Australians are not immune at 54.4%. If we then look at the latest data down at the postcode level, you can see there that Liverpool 2170 is top of the list. This is based on the mortgage stress count at 11,992. Then Campbelltown in New South Wales 2560, 11,785. Then Toowoomba up in Queensland, Wanneroo in Western Australia, still above 11,000. And then Roxburgh Park and Donnybrook, Craigieburn in Victoria 3064 with just over 10,000. Fountain Gate, Narrowarren in Victoria at 3805. Pakenham and Upper Pakenham in Victoria 3810. Berwick and Harkaway 3806 again in Victoria. Cranbourne again in Victoria. And that's 3977. Then Ballarat, so that's regional Victoria, 3350. Then Riverston and Marsden Park and Oakville in New South Wales 2765, Hoppers Crossing in Victoria 3029, and Merriwa, Tamla Park 6030 in Western Australia. The common theme, of course, among many of these postcodes are a lot of new property being built, a lot of home and land packages, a lot of relatively new mortgage holders, and frankly, they're still paying through the nose for property that is poorly built and over-financed. If we then look at risk of default, so this is looking at owner-occupied mortgages, you can see there that the highest risk of default is in Cranbourne, 3977, maybe no surprise there, Mandurah and Meadow Springs at 6210, then Hoppers Crossing, 3029, then Armadale, 6112, and Roxburgh Park, 3064, Success in Western Australia, 6164, Point Cook and Derrimut, 3030, Wanneroo, 6065, Toowoomba, 4350, Bundaberg, 4670, Pacific Pines, 4211, then Gosford, 2250 on the Central Coast, and Wyong, 2259 on the Central Coast. Now, interestingly, the default rates are varying. You can see there that at the top of the list, they're more than 6%, but that's a WA special. That's because over in WA, we have long-term pressures still building, despite recent price moves up, whereas some of the percentages are lower across other postcodes in other states, but are still looking slightly pressurized. Overall, the default rates are not that high at the moment, but they are building. The banks are continuing, of course, to provide some support for some people, but as that runs out of runway, I do expect default rates to continue to rise. No rate cuts, probably for the next few months, and that's going to put more people under pressure. The rental stress, Toowoomba now has overtaken Melbourne at the top of the list with more than 15,100 households in the postcode 4350 under difficulty. Now, of course, Toowoomba covers a massive area. You can see there all the suburbs that are listed. But nevertheless, 48,000 households across the postcode, 15,000 in rental stress, that's 83.8% of those in the rental sector in that particular postcode. Victorian postcode 3000 still there is right at the top as well, with more than 15,000 there. Then we go to Liverpool, 2170, Southport up in Queensland, 4215, Hoppers Crossing, 3029 in Victoria, Zetland and Waterloo in New South Wales, then Westmead and Wentworthville in New South Wales, postcode 2145, Point Cook and Derrimut in Victoria, 3030, Campbelltown, 2560, then Bundaberg up in Queensland, 4670, still more than 9,600 households in rental stress, then Cooma in Queensland, 4209, Yatala, 4207 up in Queensland, and then Ipswich, 4305, and I'd highlight the fact that those Queensland postcodes are now really coming up the list in terms of rental stress. The story for rental stress across Queensland is deteriorating quite rapidly. If I look at stressed investors, these are people trying to sell their investment property or indeed having cash flow pressures. Cranbourne, postcode 3977 up in Victoria, holds the record there with more than 3,000 people in the stressed investor category. Then we go to Tasmanian postcode 3710, which of course is around Sprayton and Wilmot and Devonport and places like that, more than 3,000. Then we go to Beaumont Hills 2155 and Rouse Hill and Kellyville. And then we go to Toowoomba 4350, Southport up in Queensland 4215, Hornsby 2077, Ferntree Gully in Victoria 3156, Meadow Springs and Western Australia, that of course includes Mandurah 6210, Westmead and Wentworthville in New South Wales 2145, and then Paradise Point and places around there, including South Stradbrook on 4216. Then we go to Randwick and Clovelly, 2031. Then to Bundaberg, 4670. Then Coomera in Queensland, 4209. And finally, in our top list, Launceston, 7250, and areas around there. We are seeing problems in Tasmania continuing to deteriorate. So overall, looking at the aggregate financial stress across all households, Toowoomba holds the prize this month at 29,229 households. postcode 4350. Then we go to Liverpool, 2170. Then we go to Campbelltown, 2560. Cranbourne, 3977. Hoppers Crossing, 3029. Roxburgh Park, 3064. Dumbarton Point Cook, 3030. Ipswich, 4305. Melbourne, 3000. Mount Druitt, 2770. Ballarat, 3350. Southport, 4215. Then postcode 7250, including Launceston, Ravenswood and Riverside. Westmead, 2145. And Belbird Park, 4300 in Queensland. And even there, we have two-thirds of households in that particular postcode in financial stress. And that's more than 15,000 households in difficulty. Now, in terms of our scenarios, we run these because of the view of what may happen, not because we're trying to forecast. They're running forward from today, and this powers our core market model. So we have three, the Goldilocks zone, where we see rates sticking at 4.35%. They fall later in 2025. Inflation eases in line with Reserve Bank expectations. Migration remains above average. The base case is a soft landing with rates staying at 4.35% through 25. Inflation falls but later rises and stays above target until 2026. No recession in Australia. Migration falls to average. And the worst is a nightmare scenario with rates rising above 4.35% and they stay high for 26. We see inflation still high, unemployment rises and migration falls away. And if we look at that, we see, for example, in Western Australia, the best case scenario is still strong growth for houses, the base case going sideways, the worst case, a significant fall. Comparing, of course, units, we find similar things going on. Whereas in Victoria, at the other end of the spectrum, we see flat in the best case scenario, falls of maybe 18% in the base case, and the worst case, a more significant fall. So this is in line with what we're seeing through some of the other forecasters who are suggesting that prices are probably going to ease. The base case is probably the most likely in my view, but who knows? It depends a little bit on what happens with government policy and, of course, what happens internationally with things like Trump. So there you go. That's the latest information. I hope you found it useful. If you would like information about a particular postcode, drop it in the comments below and I will make another show later where I go into the postcode level information, because there is a lot of granularity which is quite important to understand what's going on. Not all postcodes are behaving in the same way. And frankly, the story I think ahead will be quite different, for example, in Perth relative to Sydney or Melbourne. But overall, the summary is that we have more households getting into difficulty, the pressures are building, rates are not going to come back anytime soon, and that's going to put a lot more pressure on a lot of people. Now, let me just say that if you are in financial pressure, you need to get help from the right people. And I always refer people to the free National Debt Helpline service, 1-800-007-007. That is by far the best place to go. Don't just Google, because you can end up paying for stuff that you don't need to pay for. National Debt Helpline is busy, but worth talking to. Also, if you go to AFCA's website, you can actually do a statement of financial positioning, which tells you a little bit about where you are from an income and expenditure perspective. I see households struggling with this, so this is a really good tool. The AFCA's statement of financial position is highly recommended. If you'd like to support what we do, you can do so via our Patreon program. And specifically, if you want to get data for all postcodes that we analyze, that is available. It's $50 a month, and you can subscribe via Patreon. We'll be sending out the data in a few days' time to those who are subscribed. And finally, if you'd like to get more information about what we do, go to the DFA blog. You can see quite a lot there about what's going on. So I hope that's been useful. Thank you very much for watching. I'll look forward to seeing you in the next episode. By the way, Edwin's rant didn't happen today. It'll be Wednesday. He's got some other things on today, hence this post coming out today. I'll look forward to seeing you on the live show tomorrow with Damien Klassen, where we're going to go through the financial markets and see what's been going on and what may happen over the rest of this year and into next year. And later on in the week, I hope to have some other interesting updates from some of our other analysis. So I look forward to seeing you then. This is Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.